Hello, everybody. This is Reverend Wolfgang at the Holiness Bibles for the Blind studio of Angelic Recordings. And we are here to interview a very unique ministry of Brother Mike and Ricky Shibley. I hope I'm pronouncing that right tonight. Am I got that right, Brother Mike?
You got that right.
Okay. Because sometimes I don't get names exactly right, but hey, that's all right. Thank God, God knows the name. And Brother Mike, would you mind telling us, first of all, what is the name of this ministry?
Name of our ministry is Heaven for Sure.
Well, hallelujah. I like that name. Heaven for Sure. All right. And how can we be sure of heaven, Brother Mike?
Well, the reason why we say Heaven for Sure is because the scriptures teach that anyone who comes to Christ Jesus in faith, they receive eternal life at the moment of conversion. And I believe eternal life means life that never ends. So I believe if one can lose his salvation, then he would never have had eternal life to begin with. So that is how we, my wife and I, decided to come up with the name Heaven for Sure.
Well, now I like that name. It surely fits my philosophy and my own beliefs. So, I mean, right here we got us a good ministry of Brother Mike. He is a, you're a street evangelist, street preacher, is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
And your wife is a gospel singer. One question for you, since I know that you're the head of this ministry, from the information I've understood thus far. Are you guys into any kind of music, or is it just that you let her sing any kind of music, or you got some standards on that?
Actually, to be honest with you, I do have some standards on the kind of music that my wife sings. The first thing is, my wife and I, before she sings any song, we kind of go through things, and she talks to me to see if it's okay if she sings that song. We look for, number one, does the song mention the name of Jesus? Can the listener tell that the song is about Jesus? And does the listener receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through the song? If the listener does not receive that, at least that much, then the song is pretty much thrown out of the ministry. Anything that is too contemporary, we do not welcome in. What we do welcome in, any kind of music that is God-glorifying and God-honoring.
All right. Now, Brother Mike, I'm going to start with you. Obviously, you being the head, so we're going to start with you. I'd like to get your personal testimony.
Well, to be honest with you, my personal testimony is kind of goes like this. For 21 years, I was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I grew up a Mormon. I was born Catholic, and I became Mormon from there. Being raised in the Mormon Church, I attended Mormon services regularly there for a while. And when I turned 21, a friend of mine had invited me on a retreat. Now, at this point in time, I was an alcoholic. I was heavy involved in alcohol. My whole life was wrapped up in that and women. And when he had invited me on this retreat, he had promised me that I was going to receive my alcohol and my women, but when I got there, what I received was so much better than that. On this retreat, I was told about a relationship with Jesus. A man had shown me the scripture, Isaiah 53, the whole chapter, and it was really neat the way he did. He read it from the King James Bible, and all the verses in the scriptures, they were speaking to my heart. I could not forget what I was hearing. And the scripture that really kind of stuck out at me was, he was counted as a sheep to the slaughter. And then it says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It really kind of touched my heart how the Lord said that God laid upon himself the iniquity of us all. And that is what kind of did it for me. And when I was going home that night, I wanted to have a relationship with Jesus. I wanted to know him personally. So my testimony, first of all, begins on scripture. My testimony rests on scripture, and everything I stand on is the scriptures. That's how I know I'm saved.
Well, hallelujah. Now, we're going to turn this mic over to Sister Ricky for a minute here, and I'd like to get her personal testimony, and then we're going to come back to you, Brother Mike. Is that all right? All right.
Well, most of my life, I was raised in a Pentecostal church. Actually, I got saved at the age of 19. One night, I was already married at this time. It was at in my house, and my husband let me hear this tape, and it was on hell, and it terrified me, and I didn't know for sure where I was going to spend my eternity. At that time, I thought I was saved, but I didn't have a true testimony. My testimony did not rest on a scripture. But thank God that night I gave my life to Jesus, and from now I've been living for Him.
All righty. You've been hearing the testimony of Brother Mike and Ricky Shibley on the Holiness Bibles for the Blind and Angelic Recording Studio. And after listening to a song by Ricky, we're going to have a few more words with Brother Mike. Mike, after we just got done listening to your wonderful wife sing a wonderful song there, now I just have to go into asking you some good questions now, because knowing that you're the preacher here, I know Sister Ricky, I mean, hey, and you being the leader, the spiritual leader, that it's your responsibility to guide the group. Is that correct?
Yes. Real fast, if I may just kind of add one more thing on there. A few minutes ago, you asked a question on there about why we named our group Heaven for Sure. I just want to say that our prayer through our ministry is that if anyone is out there, like my wife, who did not know where they were going to spend eternity, we would just like to say that our prayer from our ministry is that you do receive the assurance from God that you are saved, if you're saved. And if you're not saved, our prayer is that you get saved so you can receive that assurance.
All right. And like I was saying, with you being the leader, the preacher of the group, more people are going to be more interested. I know that Ricky's testimony, that's a wonderful testimony, but they're going to be interested in your beliefs, since you're going to be the foundation, the head, the leader of this, as the Bible says in Timothy, that the man is to be the head of the home. So we're going to ask you some questions here, knowing that also when you preach, that they're going to want to know where you stand doctrinally. First of all, I need to know, where do you stand on the Bible? Do you just accept like the NIV, ASV, and all that garbage, or what Bible are you standing on?
Well, to be honest with you, preacher, there's only one Bible. So when you ask that question, you ask, which Bible am I standing on? There is only one Bible. The rest are a bunch of counterfeits that Satan has put out there to deceive the minds of young Christian people and to lead them into a life of constant disobedience to the living God. And that one Bible that I stand upon and my wife stands upon is known to you as the AV 1611 King James, but known to me as the King Jesus Version.
Well, hallelujah. I like that, the King Jesus Version. You hear that, folks? And I have to say that this ministry, Holiness Bibles for the Blind, has always stood on the KJV, and I'm glad to hear that there's some preachers and some people out there that still stand on the Word. Now, Brother Mike, I just need to know, what about those people that believe that, you know, hey, they've gotten baptized. Where do you think they stand?
Now, that kind of depends. If your question is, do I believe that someone who is baptized without receiving Christ is saved? Or if you're asking me, do I believe someone who is saved should be baptized?
Well, let's take it from both angles then. Okay, let's start with the first respect. The person who's never accepted or had a personal relationship with Christ, do you think they should be? Do you think baptism is the salvation, or do you think that they should be baptized?
First of all, the word baptism means it comes from a Greek word baptista, which means to dunk. And I am 100% convinced from all the studying I've done on the scriptures. And that is that water baptism, apart from salvation, does not save a sinner. All water baptism does is get them, they go down a dry sinner and they come up a wet sinner. There's absolutely no salvation found in water baptism. But now it is a requirement for a saved person after they've accepted Christ, after they have come to faith in terms in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've realized who he is, and then at that point in time, I believe the first and foremost, the number one priority for that person is to be water baptized.
So you do believe it is essential after salvation that a person demonstrate their salvation through the ordinance of baptism?
Yes, but if a person happens to die before they're water baptized and they've accepted Christ, that person still goes to heaven based upon the assurance of Jesus is Lord, and that's where their salvation's resting in.
All righty, that is a very good point. And the next question I have for you is on the issue of works. You know, like people say, well, you got to tithe and give so much money to the church or do good things. How do you stand on that?
Well, see, that kind of depends, because once again, that's kind of a two-way question. The first thing is works, good works. It's impossible for a person to do any kind of good works apart from Christ, apart from salvation. See, the Bible says that there's nothing good in our flesh. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible also says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. So I believe that there is no good works apart from salvation. Being good will not get a person to heaven. Following the law will not get a person to heaven. Doing any kind of good charitable work around the country, it will not get you into heaven. All that will do is get you a place into hell if you want to go to hell. But my belief on works is, out of salvation, there is works that then does come out of salvation. And those works are not works depending on salvation. Those are works of obedience out of salvation, which means when the Lord calls a saved person to go, say, into Africa to bring the gospel to Africa, a saved person then travels and puts his own money into a trip to Africa to go out there to preach the gospel. Not because he thinks that's going to get him to heaven, but because that's out of obedience to what God called him to do. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, now I did copy that. The next question I got, since you mentioned the word, and you were headed into a question I was going to ask, you mentioned the word hell. Do you believe, or I should say it this way, what do you believe hell is?
Hell, first of all, is a real, literal place. Hell is known as the lake of fire. I believe right now there is a temporary hell or a temporary place of torment that one day will turn into a real literal lake of fire that will burn with fire and brimstone, and it is eternal. My belief on hell is that hell is very hot. My belief on hell is it's a place of outer darkness. And I also believe it's eternal separation from God. And I believe there's going to be a lot of torment, and I believe there's going to be a place where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched.
Okay, on that same line, do you believe that that just the average person is sent to hell by God, or do they send theirself?
Well, that's an interesting question, but the only answer I can give you is this. If a father looks at his son, and he says to his son, "Son, I don't want you to go out with this person," and that son decides to go out with that person anyway, the son then accepts full responsibility for the consequences of his action. And I believe us, as God's creation, we are the ones that accept full responsibility when we reject the substitute, or the substitute for our sins, and or the sin bearer, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we refuse to accept that, then we are accepting upon ourselves the error which was meet, or the recompense, or very much so the damnation of hell.
Oh, that's a pretty good, interesting way of saying that. If more or less, we choose, a better word, I think, that you're trying to say, that we choose hell on our own. No one sends us.
That is correct. Hell is a choice. Hell is not a place that God wants to send you. God does not want to send one to hell. In fact, God does not take pleasure in sending one to hell. In fact, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. It's not God's will that someone perishes and goes to hell. But on the other hand, it is man's will. Man then has a free will. A man decides, I either want to accept God's substitute or I don't. And if I choose not to accept his substitute, then, as I said before, I am accepting upon myself the reward, or the damnation of hell.
Okay, now the next question I have for you is about Jesus himself. Do you believe he was just a good man, or do you believe he was more than a good man?
When I say this answer, you're probably going to think I'm not saved. First of all, I believe Jesus was a good man, but I also believe he was God. I believe he was God, and he was a perfect man. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. It's hard for me to understand. I'll never be able to comprehend this side of heaven. But I know that Jesus Christ is God himself in the flesh. And I know when I look at Jesus in the flesh, I see God.
All right. So you believe in a Trinitarian doctrine?
That is correct. I do believe in the Godhead.
All righty. Now, as to Jesus, do you believe he was virgin-born, or that God had sex with Mary and all of a sudden conceived Jesus?
Well, right now, preacher, the only way there is to go is to believe that Jesus was conceived of a virgin, born of a virgin, came to die upon an old rugged cross, and 3 days later he rose from the grave.
Well, you just answered two more of my questions about the fact that did he die on a cross. You answered that. You answered the question I was about to ask you. Do you believe in the resurrection? And so at least you answered the question ahead of me, but I notice you're wanting to say something here.
Yeah, I just want to kind of add something about the resurrection. First of all, I must say this, because there's this false teaching going around out there that Jesus did not bodily rise from the grave, that he was a ghost. And I 100% believe that Jesus physically died, he was physically buried, and on the third day he did physically, bodily rise from the grave. And Jesus is totally God in the flesh, and that's how we know he was God.
Alrighty. And then another question I got for you. Are you believing, do you have a belief, I should say, in a bodily resurrection of the saved during the rapture?
I personally believe that, yes, every single saved person, both living and dead, will receive a bodily resurrection, and we will receive the same kind of body as the Lord Jesus Christ received.
Okay, now the next couple questions, I'm going to be using some bigger words on you, and if you don't understand it, I'm going to explain them as I go. The first question I have is, do you believe in a pre-millennial rapture? That means before the millennial reign of Christ. Do you believe in the rapture is going to occur then?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and do you believe in a pre-tribulational rapture? That means the rapture will occur before tribulation period.
Yes, I do.
All righty. So we got us a... So basically, you would have to say your doctrine would fall in line with the independent fundamental Baptist movement. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. Now, just one other good question I have for the both of you to have a little bit of an answer time to. And then I have one other question for you, Brother Mike. And the question I have for the both of you is, how long have you been doing this ministry, and what is your goal in this ministry?
You want to answer, or should I?
You go ahead, honey.
Well, to be honest with you, I've been doing active street ministry for the past 4 years. So I would say, for myself, the ministry kind of began 4 years ago. But for my wife and I joined together, we just got married last year, so I would say right now, the ministry is just right now beginning, so it hasn't really gone anywhere as far as I'm going different directions as far as her and I both together.
Okay, now for Ricky, here's a question strictly straight down her alley, is do you find it hard in the ministry when, like say for example, that you would just... You know, I know there's times that ladies just, you know, that they don't feel good for whatever physical reason, and the Bible saying that the woman is the weaker vessel. Do you find those times that you'd rather just curl up in bed and just say, I'm not doing it today?
Oh, yeah. That happens a lot. But thanks God, he always pushes me.
All right. And Brother Mike, now I got to come back to you with something similar off of that question is, is it you, the one with the big club over there, says, hey, honey, we're going to get going, we're going to church or whatever, or you just try to cuddle her and say, hey, come on, sweetie, let's go on to, you know, church or whatever, or do what we got to do? How would you say?
Oh, I know. To answer that question, I'd have to say this. I don't have to beat my wife to go to church. My wife willingly goes to church. But there are times when I have to push her, and I have to say, honey, we're going, and I have to kind of say things. Then there's times she has to push me, so it kind of goes in the equal sense.
Yeah, but I do appreciate that.
Yeah, it's sort of give and take, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I know how it is sometimes. My missus, she has to almost get out, you know, get out the billy club, the iron rail, and say, you're going or else. But, you know, I'm glad for that reminder. Now, Brother Mike, I have one other question for you. I know your wife sings, but I also understand that you do a little singing. Do you guys sometimes, you do some by yourself, right?
As far as the music ministry is concerned, I don't really try to do too much singing anymore. I kind of like to focus a lot of my time, a lot of my attention on preaching, because the Lord's called me into that area. But there are times when I do just decide to sing a couple songs. So we do, when our album is released pretty soon, the first Heaven for Short album, there will be a couple songs on there of my singing.
And have you guys ever decided to do duets, or you do just more or less little by yourselves?
We have worked a couple times on songs together. We just can't seem to find one that's going to fit both of our ranges, and got to kind of keep us both together. So right now it's kind of just her on her own and me on my own.
All right. Well, I guess as a little closer here, we're going to give a listen to Brother Mike as he turns loose on a song that I think will be a blessing and a touch to all those who listen. Feel the Nails on the Holiness Bibles for the Blind and Angelic Recordings. And we thank Brother Mike and Sister Ricky for being here. And we asking you to just take a listen at Feel the Nails.
Jesus, for dying for me.
Tell me Jesus died for my transgressions, and that he paid that price a long, long time ago. He gave his life for me on a hill called Calvary. There's something else I want to know. Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Can he hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing him pain? But I know I've got to change. I just can't bear the thoughts hurting him. Seems that I'm so good at breaking promises, and I treat his precious grace so carelessly. Each time he forgives, what if he relives the agony felt on that tree? Does he still feel the does he hear the crowd cry out, crucify again? Am I causing him pain? But I know I've got to change. I just can't bear the thought hurting him. Thank you. my Lord.